Real Time.
William Mullally joins us. He joins us every single Thursday to talk about the movies. The movies that came out yesterday that you can see this weekend. Hi, William. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Have you had a lovely trip?
I did. I was in Barcelona doing some pretty awesome interviews for some movies that are going to be coming out all throughout the rest of the year.
Please do share.
We have Spider-Man Homecoming coming in a couple weeks. We got Zendaya and Tom Holland for that, Spider-Man himself.
Yeah, we had Tom Holland's dad in the studio a little while ago, remember?
Yeah, we did. Tom himself and his brother was there as well. So the whole family was camped out in Barcelona. And then later in the year, in October, Blade Runner 2049 is coming out. So we'll have Denis Villeneuve and Ana de Almas, who's in a movie coming out today as well. Then Jumanji is coming out at the end of the year. And caught up with Jack Black about that, who's an awesome guy.
I got so scared of Jumanji, like when I watched it when I was little. I only recently watched it again. It's so good, but oh my goodness, I was so scared at nightmares for like months.
She's such a Disney princess, is all Michelle. So funny.
Well, this one looks a lot funnier. The setup of the movie is...
It's not so scary.
No, there's four kids that are on detention in school and they get put down to the basement. They find this old video game system. They plug it in. They select their characters and they get pulled into the game, which is the jungle from Jumanji, in which they are their characters. So the nerdy little white guy becomes The Rock. The gigantic guy becomes Kevin Hart. The beautiful girl becomes Jack Black, and so on and so forth.
Sounds a bit like Minecraft, doesn't it? Getting pulled in and being your character.
Yeah, I'm into it. I think it'll be funny. I think a lot of people were skeptical about that one in particular because it's like, why would you make another Jumanji?
Yeah, it was great, the first
when
one.
When we had Robin Williams. But I think it's in the right hands.
All right, so all of those interviews are to come on the ticket at some point. We just don't know when, right? It's all timings,
isn't
it?
In months. Best you forget about it, and then I'll surprise you all over again with them.
Oh, that's easy. I forget, like, within... You could tell me again tomorrow, and I would have forgot. So the movies that are coming out this week. Shall we start with... Are we calling this the big one, Transformers?
Oh, this is the big one.
Michelle's so excited about this movie.
Yes, Optimus Prime!
Yeah, this one's called Transformers The Last Knight, as in with a K, not the dark kind. And it starts way back in King Arthur-y times. I thought we'd only have one movie that kind of ruined the legacy of the story of King Arthur. Why do we keep doing King Arthur to begin with?
Oh, he's already dissing it. We're hardly even a sentence into this review.
Why do we keep doing King Arthur?
I don't know. And doing it badly as well, right?
Yeah, well, did you know that King Arthur also fought robots?
Oh, no.
At Stonehenge?
Oh, no. That's so horrible.
Was it Optimus Prime, though? Because then that'll be okay.
Well, no, but he does come in as well. And there's a sword that's also a robot sword, and Mark Wahlberg's there. So, you know, it's just like you remember King Arthur as a kid.
I heard recently that Mark Wahlberg is now the highest paid celebrity actor. He's the highest paid actor.
It's remarkable.
Isn't it crazy?
He's always had an eye of a producer. You know, he's always been making different projects happen. Yeah. He's had an integral role in selecting the sorts of projects that he takes, but he does take these big budget roles and he takes these gigantic movies. And the Transformers movies have started huge. The first one made $700 million worldwide, and they've only gotten bigger. In the last, I think, two or three have grossed over $1 billion each, which is insane. They're not doing that well domestically in the U.S., but the U.S. is increasingly irrelevant. It's all about here. It's all about China. It's all about everywhere else that loves these sorts of movies. And so the Transformers movies, while they might not get the most headlines and the best critical reviews, these are the biggest movies in the world. These and Fast and the Furious dominate and absolutely pack cinemas, which is why it's the perfect release for Eid.
Should we have a little listen to the trailer?
Let's do it.
Your daughter, what would you say to her?
Brush your teeth, work hard. Stay away from any boy in a band, especially a drummer.
These are troubled times. Without leaders, chaos reigns. Two worlds colliding. You're all that stand in its way.
And now the greatest mission of them all. To turn the tide of human history.
Frank, stop! Can't do this!
The imminent destruction of everything we know and love begins.
I'm not leaving you!
When all seems lost, a few brave souls can save everything we've ever known.
The operation is over.
We're not giving up on Prime, okay?
I want to stay, and I want to fight them.
For my world to live, yours must die.
So critics hate these movies, these Transformer movies. Why do people love them?
Well, I think people don't necessarily want good movies.
Come on, give us some credit. We want good movies.
No, it's like what William said a little while back about The Mummy. It's like good trash.
Yeah.
It's so, like, what did you call it? You called it...
Yeah, did I call it great trash?
Great trash, yeah. This is not necessarily trash, but sometimes you just want a great action movie that...
Robots King Arthur.
Yeah.
You want spectacle is what you want.
That's it.
And this is what these movies are made for. More than really any other series, this is just pure spectacle. You have a director in Michael Bay who originally came up doing movies like The Rock, then he did Armageddon, the Bad Boys films. But he's really kind of made his name on the Transformers films. He's reached a different level of audience with these films. And I don't think he's really focused on, you know, telling the story and developing the characters and the things that we traditionally think of as, you know, good movie making. He's interested in creating spectacle. So he's pushing ahead the technology as far as possible. He's pushing together this green screen, because obviously these aren't real robots. Sorry for anyone out there.
Was Johnny Five real?
Yes.
Phew.
For sure.
But my childhood.
Yeah.
It's also that idea that my car is going to turn into a transformer.
It's a very...
As I'm driving home, you know.
It's a pure fun idea. But you just want to see giant robots fighting each other. And you want to see King Arthur there as well. So you just want to be able to look up on a giant IMAX screen. And this is filmed in IMAX 3D. And just experience the spectacle of it. And even though it's not technically well made, it's very loud and there's a lot of things happening. And it keeps moving. And I think it goes back to the early days of cinema when you just wanted to look up and see big things happening, you know?
Yeah.
Especially with the types of characters they bring in. We got rid of Shia LaBeouf and we brought in Mark Wahlberg, who's the ultimate, you know, blue-collar man's man, which is a different sort of role and is more fit to a car type of movie. And I think guys like Mark Wahlberg and Vin Diesel, since they can act like that sort of thing, are the perfect guys for the international audience who still crave that sort of storytelling.
These movies are pure escapism. It's coming in on the text.
Oh, absolutely.
And I guess if you want that, if you just want a good hour and a half, 2 hours of complete switch off.
2.5 hours.
What?
Wow. 2.5 hours.
Wow. I don't know if you want that much escapism, do you?
What's crazy with these movies is that, so the first one came out, a lot of people liked the first one. It got pretty good reviews. The second one, they wrote it during the writer's strike, or right after, and they rushed the script really fast. So they made excuses like, oh, it wasn't as bad because we rushed it. But then the other ones have just been as bad. And in fact, between this one and the last one, they hired a writer's room of this super cast of screenwriters who have written everything, these huge names. You know, the guy who wrote The Walking Dead, even though he quit after a day to have throat surgery. And they sat together to try to come up with great plots, which is weird because this one is underplotted. And really, I think they brought 40 people into a room and they sat there and they're like, what about robots but King Arthur? And then they all just went home. Just cast their
check. It just got too much. They probably put them in the room and then this brainstorming session just got too much. And then they were just like, and then they ended up with this.
Mark Wahlberg
has a sword.
The question of should we go and see it is kind of pointless, isn't it? Because if you like this kind of thing, you're going to go and see it anyway. And if you don't, you're just going to stay away from it.
Yeah, on the biggest screen possible. You just want to turn your brain off, have some spectacle. If you try to sit there and analyze this plot and think about all the characters, it's a lot like The Mummy. You just need to kind of sit back, relax, and enjoy great trash.
Okay, we're going to come back. We've got our School of Little Voice reviewer. He's been to see another movie. He'll be in the studio live next.
Real time.
William Mullally is in the studio with us, as he is every single Thursday. But also, we've got our little mini movie reviewer here.
In a world
where children never look up from a screen,
where adults tell us off for staring at screens,
there's one screen that we're all allowed to watch.
There is!
Yes, silly, the TV.
Not just normal TV.
What then?
Film.
Oh, of course.
The Little Movie Review.
Every Thursday at 3, in association with the children of School of Little Voice.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
And this week, we are joined in the studio by Dylan.
Woo! Hi.
Hi, Dylan. Welcome to the show. How old are you?
8.
You are 8 years old. You've just broke up from school. Last day?
Yep.
Oh, how does that feel?
It feels like the freedom.
I remember the feeling. And I believe you did something quite exciting at school this week.
Well, it wasn't this week. It was last week on Thursday. I went into school and, well, class, and I, and my, and me and my dad did a song called Heart of Gold by Neil Young. I played the harmonica and sang, and he played the guitar.
So you're in a band with your dad?
I guess you could say that.
I was wondering if you were named after Bob Dylan, but I think if your dad's bringing you out to sing Neil Young, it's confirmed.
So how did it go?
It went pretty good. Pretty good.
Could you sing me a bit? How does it go?
Just
wondering if I know the song.
Maybe I could sing a little bit.
Go on then.
Okay. I wanna live, I wanna give. I've been a miner for a heart of gold. It's these expressions I never give that keep me searching for a heart of gold.
Oh, Dylan, that was amazing.
Did your
friends love it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. Are you going to miss school over the summer?
Yeah, I am.
What will you miss most?
That four of my friends are leaving.
Forever?
Yep.
Oh, that's really sad, isn't it? Four, that's a lot to lose in 1 year. What's going to be the best thing about the summer, though, not being at school?
Probably the rain and probably the cold weather from this weather.
Okay, let's guess where he's going. UK. No.
Close.
Where?
Ireland.
Amazing. You're going to have such a good time. Right then, what did you go and review for the ticket at Vox Cinemas this week, Dylan?
I went to see Cars 3.
Cars 3. Let's take a little listen to this trailer.
You are about to become the biggest brand in racing.
U95!
Movie deals, infomercials, product endorsements.
Ka-chow!
You think you're famous now? We'll be rich beyond belief.
Mr. Sterling, what is this about?
Your legacy. Every time you lose, you damage yourself. I'm sorry. Your racing days are coming to an end.
We can only hope that this race today wasn't his last.
I decide when I'm done.
How you feeling?
I can't go out on the track and do the same old thing. It won't work.
It's futile to resist change, man.
You know what I'd do?
What?
I don't know. I got nothing.
I am so excited to train you. I like a challenge. I call you my senior project.
On your mark, get set, and go!
Whoa, 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 whoa!
The beach ate me.
Jackson Storm set a new record today when he pulled off the fastest lap ever recorded.
How you feeling?
Have you seen the latest record Storm's been setting?
Have you given any thought to retirement?
The Queen, hurry!
This is my last chance, Cruz. Last! If I lose, I never get to do this again!
So this is the third movie in the Cars series, and they're all about this guy Lightning McQueen, right?
Yep.
And so he's a car, obviously.
Yeah.
And he's a race car. Yeah. That first one, he was a star race car. He kind of fell off the beaten path, regained his steam, went back to become a great race car. The second one, they're on like a weird running around as spies or something. They're in Japan doing crazy things for some reason. But this one brings us back. We're back to racing cars. But there's a new car in town who has better technology and is faster and, you know, newer, and he's beating Lightning McQueen. Lightning has to go off and train and become a better racer so he can come back and win the race, right?
Yeah. I guess that's what you would say.
Well, what would you say? Would you do anything differently?
Nope, not at all.
He summed it up pretty good there, has he? Tell me, Dylan, what was the best thing about this film?
One scene was when Lightning McQueen and Cruz went to a race, but they didn't know it was a derbytition race. I don't know.
What's a derbytition race?
It's where they all crash and the last car standing wins.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, and they didn't know, so they were so confused. And a funny bit in that is when one guy was crooked and he would drive, then he got smashed, but he got straight. Then he got smashed, and they got smashed again and crooked, and he said, "Ah, dang it!"
Dylan, did the film go exactly the way you thought it was going to go as you were watching it?
Yes.
It did.
Quite a lot.
You like that, or do you like to have a bit of a twist in a film?
There was a twist.
Oh, don't tell us the twist then. No spoilers for anyone who's going to go and see it. Who did you go and watch it with?
I went to watch it with my dad, my mom, and my cute little sister.
And who loved it the most?
I'd probably say me.
Did dad like it?
Yeah.
What did mom think?
Eh.
Eh. Okay, right. So mom's eh. It's one of them for you. Soundtrack-wise, did it have a cool soundtrack?
Yeah, it had a cool soundtrack.
All right, and which kind of people would enjoy this movie, Dylan?
I would say, like, people who are into race cars, racing, and, like, anyone who's done a go-kart. I would probably say that.
Do you think these are made for kids, though, or do you think that there's adults that would like it, too, like, if they're really into racing?
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, some adults would like it. My dad thought it was hilarious.
Okay. Well, there we go.
The closest I had to this, I think, as a kid, was Thomas the Tank Engine.
He wasn't very fast.
Mm-mm.
No.
He was very expressive.
He was. But then I'm thinking, is it Thomas the Tank Engine crossed with Days of Thunder? Have you seen Days of Thunder, Dylan?
No.
You haven't seen that one with Tom Cruise? When he was younger?
Nope.
You know who Tom Cruise is?
Yeah, I know who he is. He's in The Mummy.
Yeah, he is in The Mummy. So you got to get Mum and Dad to dig out Days of Thunder, because I think you'd really like that if you like cars and racing. It's a good film, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's fun. But so do you think there's any famous people in this movie? Do you usually recognize the voices when you go to these animated movies?
Well, sometimes, and then again, no.
It doesn't really matter, does it, when they're playing cars, who it is, as long as they've got a good voice and you can understand it.
Yep.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, it's come to the time. We have to ask you, how many stars out of 5 would you give Cars 3, Dylan?
4.
4 out of 5. Thank you so much. Will you come back again?
Yep.
Have a wonderful summer. Enjoy yourself in Ireland. Bye, Dylan.
Bye.
The Little Movie Review.
Every Thursday at 3, in association with the children of School of Little Voice.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
Real time.
We've got William Mullally with us to help us talk through them. He is a film critic, not just for us, but for Empire magazine as well. He knows his stuff, knows what he's talking about. He gets flown around the world to speak to celebrities about the movies that they're in. And lots of those interviews you can hear exclusively on The Ticket. There's another movie out. We just talked about a movie, Cars 3, all about cars and racing. And the next movie is kind of about the same thing, but more for grown-ups.
Is it?
Is it? Debatable, really, I guess.
I guess they're for everybody. This one's called Overdrive. It's starring Scott Eastwood. How do you guys feel about Scott Eastwood? Do you know Scott Eastwood?
Didn't know him until today, to be honest.
Oh.
It's been a few things, all right?
Is he related to Clint Eastwood?
Son of.
Oh.
That's kind of his thing.
Oh.
I mean, I think it's a good time.
It would be my thing if I was his daughter, to be honest.
It's a good time to look like a famous movie star. We have a movie next week, and I'll be speaking tonight actually to Demetrius Shipp, who looked exactly like Tupac, so he is playing Tupac in the new Tupac movie, so you'll be hearing that next week on the show. This week we got Scott Eastwood, and he's a really handsome guy. He looks like his dad in his prime. It remains to be seen if he can really act. They keep putting him in movies. This is the first time he's really been handed a starring role, and I guess there's probably the easiest project you can do is put someone in the back of a car and say, drive fast. And that's exactly what this is. It's two guys who are racing cars in the south of France, and they accidentally get caught up with a gangster and have to race around to escape him.
Scott Eastwood was on The Late Show recently, and he was talking about what it's like as a teenager getting in trouble when Clint Eastwood is your dad. Listen to this.
It's kind of like when you see him in Gran Torino say, get off my lawn, but with his hands around your throat.
Can you imagine? It's pretty scary. He's got a scary stare, hasn't he, Clint Eastwood?
Oh, he does.
They used to do this reality show. Do you remember this reality show that Clint Eastwood's family did? It was this random... Yes, it was this random reality show. And Clint Eastwood would, like, pop in.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Sure it wasn't Ozzy Osbourne?
No, there was another one. I'm going to look it up. Yeah, there was this... Yeah.
I completely missed that. Sure it wasn't Hulk Hogan?
No, that was another one.
Sure it wasn't David Hasselhoff?
That's the same... Oh, did he have one?
He did have one for a while, didn't he?
It's all Ozzy's fault. Ozzy came out and was this gigantic hit, so they're just like, hey, let's call every celebrity and see who answers the phone.
Boy, I love
and
that
finally
show,
the Kardashians did.
Oh, yes, they took it and ran with it, didn't they?
Yeah, Mrs. Eastwood and Company, that's what it was called.
So focusing on his wife, really?
Yeah, it was her and then the girls and stuff. It wasn't good. Was it Scott Eastwood in it then, I imagine?
Maybe. Maybe he like came and had like some lunch or something once.
Hmm. Shall we take a listen to the trailer for Overdrive?
Let's see how it sounds.
That's us. Got this?
You might need more of a running start.
Oh, you're going to tell me how to do my job?
I'm just saying, one more step might make all the difference.
Just drive.
We are investigating a stolen car ring all over Europe. And the names that we hear again and again are two brothers named Foster.
Half brother.
You can't sideline me on this one.
I tried to convince him, but he wasn't having any of it.
Sometimes you upset the wrong guy, and you find trouble.
Well, then don't upset us.
So your brothers?
Ah, he's my brother from it, look. Never mind.
You gotta let me in, Andrew. We are a team.
We had no idea this was your car.
Maybe there's something we can do for you, Max.
You're going to steal that 62 Ferrari right out of his compound.
You have 1 week.
We're gonna need a crew if we're gonna pull off a job like this.
This is why you need me.
It's like my own private telenovela.
Who's in charge?
I am.
Is this another Fast and Furious?
I think it wants to be. I mean, I think what's interesting about this movie is it's set in France, and it's technically a French film. There's a lot of international financing with this film. There's a lot of international stars. Ana de Armas, who I actually just met over the weekend while in Barcelona, interviewed her for Blade Runner 49, which she's going to be starring in as Ryan Gosling's girlfriend in that film. I really like her. I saw her in some lower budget films earlier in her career. I'm like, she is gorgeous. She is magnetic. She needs to be in more things. And this seems to be the first of the big films that she's going to be starring in, culminating with Blade Runner later this year. So we have lots of great international stars in here. But what's interesting is people look at French films and European films in general, and you think like highbrow, you know, Truffaut, Godard, those sorts of films. But Europe has always loved these sorts of films, probably more than America. And they take these sorts of films more seriously. So a lot of times you'll have movies like Underworld that'll do huge business in Europe and huge business internationally. And they won't be put down upon. You know, we won't have this distinction between the critically loved film and the trash film.
And when I went to France, actually, I talked to some locals about this. And what's so interesting is sometimes they don't like to even watch them with subtitles. They enjoy watching them in English and not with the subtitles. Obviously, if you don't understand a lot of English, you're not going to do that. But they love, you know, going to watch them in English, and that's how a lot of them learn English.
Well, I'm guessing the story is not that hard to follow, even if you couldn't hear the words. You know what I mean?
That's probably the idea, too.
Yeah, yeah. Keep it really, really simple. Again, escapism.
Yeah, and spectacle. Big screen action, cars racing around. But they're never going to have the budget of a Fast and the Furious, so they're never really going to be able to overtake it.
So if we had to have a toss-up this week with our 35 dirhams, where would you be spending it, on Transformers or on Overdrive?
Well, I think both movies are kind of going after the same market, and that's the problem. I mean, but the thing is, at least people in the UAE love both of these sorts of films. They love these big spectacle movies. They love car movies. Fast and the Furious, obviously filmed here, had the biggest opening for a Hollywood film of all time earlier this year. So there's plenty of people who want a sort of car movie. I don't know why you'd open it opposite Transformers, which is going after exactly the same sorts of people, with a lot of cars itself. So I do think people are going to be choosing Transformers, because if you want spectacle, that is the biggest and the baddest of them all.
All right, we're going to come back. We're going to be talking about television when we come back. There is one series in particular that has completely split the studio. And I think everyone's going to be with me on this show. I think you guys are going to lose out this time.
All right, we'll see.
Real time.
Everybody loves a good box set. And I imagine going into the summer, people will be looking for some other new good ones to watch, William.
I think we're kind of past the days of calling them box sets.
Do you think so?
Do people still buy them?
No, they don't, but it's always going to be a box set, isn't it? Like, it's always going to be a TV dinner.
We know what you're talking about when you say the box set. It means that you're going to be sitting down for a really long time to watch a whole lot of seasons.
Well, the show we're going to be talking about, The Handmaid's Tale, a lot of things are popping up on Netflix all at once. You know, the entire season is there to let you do that binge watching over an entire weekend. This one, they released the first few, but then they've also been spacing it out. So you also have that, I guess, have your cake and eat it too experience, where the first few you can watch all at once, but then you have to slowly take in the rest and talk about them with everyone else online and interact with the rest of the world, which I guess is kind of not the point of Netflix. You're just supposed to sit there forever and just keep watching Netflix.
I do quite like like waiting till the end though, so I can get them all at once. If they're going to space them out.
I do that. Yeah, I'm not one of those. The days of waiting weekly were the days when there was no Netflix, you know, and you had to like Baywatch was coming on at 7:30 on a Monday night, and everyone had to sit and be ready. Those days are.
There's nothing better than a big cliffhanger and then going, should we watch the next one?
But it just you watch it differently. You know, when you can take something piece by piece, you concentrate on the minutiae, you analyze every detail, you think about what could happen next. And you just don't do that when you're sitting there. You just take it very passively and you concentrate on the big things. So I think it's really great to watch bad things all at once because you just remember all the big things happening. You don't notice all the junk or the poorly constructed scenes because they move on so quickly. So a show like The Walking Dead, I can see sitting down and doing for a weekend, but a show like The Handmaid's Tale, I just can't. I think you kind of have to take it piece by piece.
I did it in 3 nights. Handmaid's Tale. Do you want to take a listen to the trailer?
Let's do it.
Because I didn't know what it was about. A few people said, you've got to watch this. And I thought, it just sounds a little bit Downton Abbey to me. Completely different.
I was asleep before. That's how we let it happen. When they slaughtered Congress, we didn't wake up. When they blamed terrorists and suspended the Constitution, we didn't wake up then either. Now I'm awake. My name is Offred. I had another name.
Ladies, I have to let you go. It's the law now.
They needed to do it this way. All the bank accounts and the jobs all at the same time. You imagine the airports otherwise?
Run, run, run!
No, please, don't take her! No!
You girls will serve the leaders and their barren wives. You will bear children for them.
There's an eye in your house. We'll send you to the colonies. You'll be cleaning up toxic waste and then you'll die.
Tonight is a celebration of Gilead and of what we have achieved.
We only wanted to make the world better.
Better?
Better never means better for everyone.
We want to keep on living for her. Remember your scripture. Blessed are the meek. And blessed are those who suffer for the cause of righteousness.
Oh, it's so good. I finished the last episode last night and I love it.
It's a really powerful show. If people don't know this show, it was originally a book back in the 1980s. It was written by Margaret Atwood, who wrote things like Blind Assassin, Oryx and Craig. She's a wonderful wonderful writer. She was here for the Literature Festival, I think about 5 years ago. She's terrific. And this has always been her most popular book. And as a show, it keeps that same plot, but it's going to be keeping going as well. We're going to have a second season. It's going to be exploring more and more. But the basic setup is American society has fallen. It's been overtaken by a totalitarian state that has decided that women are property. And because of fertility problems, they've taken all the fertile women and given them to the most powerful men of the society and forced them to have their babies or else. And as a book, it's tough to read, and there's a lot of social commentary about where things could go. I mean, the thing about sci-fi is it's not about predicting the future. It's about pointing out things that are already in our society and pushing them to the end degree. And that's what makes the show so hard, because it picks those little points of society that are really hard to think about, even as they are,
let alone
what they could be.
It is a scary show to watch. Because you can see something like that possibly happening.
No, but that's why I didn't get past the trailer. I looked at that and I thought, no, none of that. I'm not watching that.
But then I think we need films like this to make us go, huh, okay, so with little things that you give away freedom-wise around the world, it's a bigger picture down the line.
Yeah, because you notice the little things that are already there. You notice the seeds that have already been planted that could grow into these trees. You know, a book like 1984 isn't only great if the world becomes 1984. You know, it was about what it pointed out that was already there. And The Handmaid's Tale is so great for that. And we've seen it referenced a lot in recent days because a lot of these seeds seem to be sprouting.
Michelle, something that you'd hate about this movie, when the women are given to the powerful people.
You're not doing any spoilers, are you?
No.
For the people.
No, I'm not. No spoilers whatsoever. Okay. They lose their name. So they then are called of whoever they're with. So the main character is called of Fred because Fred is the man in the household that she's given to.
I just can't bear to watch things like this.
I get excited
when you give me recommendations, but this is not entertaining. This is not escapism to me. This is not something that I feel I need to.
You should watch it. You should try and make it through. What episode are you on to, William?
I think 6 or 7. It's really powerful, mm-hmm. And it's really well made, and it's really well acted. Offred.
And the music
Offred
in it.
Actred.
Great music choices.
It is. It's really, really well done. Elizabeth Moss, I think, in a different generation, she would have been starring in every huge drama that's out there, but now she's been giving prestige TV instead. Yeah. She's taking these roles, and she's a producer on this as well, so she definitely has a hand in making this as good as it is. But it's a lot like, you guys watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another one I had to stop. I think I'm just a weakling for
these. It's too Disney.
No, it's not that. It just was too much. I take it too seriously. I go into these worlds, and I just, it's too much. I get too emotional.
But you remember that scene where the mountain, this gigantic guy, is fighting with this smaller guy who's basically, you know, the Game of Thrones version of a Spaniard who's going there for revenge, and then the mountain just takes his head and pops it like a pimple?
Like a watermelon.
It's in a book, it's, you read it for a second, you're like, oh, that's kind of gross, but watching it is a completely different experience. You don't even realize you're taking in the exact same information, but you take it in such a different way, and your heart is in it in such a different way. That's what makes this so hard. So part of the reason this is so disturbing is because of how well done it is and how sucked into it you get, because when terrible things happen to these people, you really worry about them. You can't turn it off. And so that's really the question. When does quality become maybe a bad thing, an alienating thing? If this was worse, it would probably be easier, but should it be?
The Handmaid's Tale, go and watch it. Next one that we need to talk about is season 4 of Silicon Valley, because it is, the finale is happening on Sunday. Is that right?
It is. It'll be early Monday morning, actually, here on OSN. It'll be re-airing as well. But this is one of those shows as well that I think people have been talking about more and more as time has gone on. It's also become more relevant as time has gone on. I think, especially watching the tech world in the last few years, this show is a lot like Veep in that it shows a world that we don't really know a lot about, and it shows it full of people who don't really know what they're doing, kind of stumbling their way through all the foibles that can go on in this world. But as we're watching things like Uber collapse in front of our eyes, it makes Silicon Valley seem a little bit less like fiction.
I've got the trailer for season 1, because I know a lot of people might not have even seen an episode of this yet, so I didn't want to ruin anything, but it's just so funny. I forgot how funny it is.
If you want to live here, you've got to deliver. Like Steve.
Jobs or Wozniak? Steve Jobs or Steve...
No, I heard you.
Which one?
Jobs.
Jobs was a poser. He didn't even write code.
Silicon Valley is the cradle of innovation.
Your compression algorithm blew our engineering team away.
We have the resources to take what you have done to the global level.
I'm prepared to give you $200,000.
$600,000
for 10% of your company.
$10 million.
We had a guy in here in almost the exact same situation. Take the money or keep the company.
He shot himself because he turned down the money?
Yeah. Or no, he took the money. Or no. No, he did not. You know what? I don't remember. But whatever it was, he regretted it so much that he ended up shooting himself, and now he's blind.
Oh, it's a really funny show.
Is this, William, did you say this is similar to Veep? Because I love Veep.
It is. It's a bit more, I guess, boy humor. Because, I mean, the thing about these characters, it's created by Mike Judge, who first came to prominence in the 90s by creating Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, okay.
He did King of the Hill. He did the movie Idiocracy, which is also a movie that's gotten better over the years as the world has kind of caught up with it. But this is kind of about how all these guys, you know, they're brilliant. They're, you know, on a different level of technology and innovation and pushing futurism. But they're also, they never really moved past being teenagers socially. Mm-hmm. And so they're constantly making inappropriate jokes. They don't really understand social situations. Going on a date with a girl is still the biggest deal in the world, even though these guys are, you know, far into their 30s. But they are, it's got a tremendous cast. Thomas Middleditch, the star, kind of, I don't think people really knew him, but he is really a tremendous talent. He's so good at balancing that fine line between being a parody of these characters, just being completely silly, and being kind of truthful and hateful and showing the bad sides of them while keeping them watchable, which is a really hard thing to do. Kumail Nanjiani is here, who's an insanely funny stand-up comedian who has a huge movie coming out this year about the true story of him and his wife, so he's going to become an even bigger star. Martin Starr, who is the little nerd on Freaks and Geeks, has grown up to be be the main coder character. TJ Miller, actually, his last episode is on Sunday. They're writing the character off. He's kind of been the anchor that held the show together. He's popped up in a million things, so I'm sure you've seen him. But I don't know, maybe they're going to kill him off. They're just going to write him off. But he said he's never going to come back.
Oh, I hate when that happens with a good character.
Yeah, and he's always been... I think if you're looking at these characters, it seems to be with him that the line between his character of Ehrlich Bachmann, this guy who walks around with absolute confidence and swagger and no competence or knowledge of what's going on whatsoever, just showing the complete absurdity of Silicon Valley, he's been the best character for showing that. So I don't know how they're going to do it without him, but it seems like maybe they might have got rid of him on purpose. I don't know if there was something behind the scenes, but it seems as we're watching the last few episodes, it seems like they're just kind of wrapping him up very quickly, which is too bad because I'm definitely going to miss him. But I think the rest of the cast is good enough that it will be able to continue and keep The Last coming.
And don't worry, wasn't it Harold from Neighbours? Didn't he come back and we never thought he would?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so they can always come back. Something else that we have to mention. Do you remember, Michelle, books that give kids plot choices at the end of chapters so you could kind of follow your own storyline?
Goosebumps. Oh,
1980s so and 1990s.
Many nightmares from that.
Now, Netflix, this is awful news, I think. Some of you might like it. Have embraced that concept. They're launching a show that's going to allow younger viewers to make 13 choices in one episode to arrive at different outcomes.
What?
Yeah, so it's Puss in Boots. They're going to do that with Puss in Boots first. But they've then said that this opens up the possibility of bespoke episodes of House of Cards and things like Narcos.
Oh, what?
No way! Like, for me, I don't know about you, in Narcos, at one point you're going, don't kill him. How can that happen?
Didn't Narcos really happen?
Yeah, it did. I mean,
how can you change that? Like, well, maybe he wins in the end. Why not?
I just think this
Colombia
is
a very different place today.
And also, when you're watching something, it says here you will have 10 to 15 seconds to make up your mind using a game controller or TV remote or by tapping the screen. If there's no choice made, the story will continue as it would anyway. So you're going to be prompted all the way through a show. What would you like to happen here next?
Well, they've tried this before. They've tried to do it in cinemas, actually, with test audiences, but it's never really gotten off the ground. But it's always been an idea that has kind of lurked in the back of Hollywood. But I think it's one of those things like 3D. It seemed like 3D was dead and gone, but then it came back and it stayed and people are still paying for it. So I think if at first you don't succeed, try again. I think if anyone's going to pull it off, it's going to be Netflix.
You think it's going to work? You think people will want to do this?
Well, I think kids are like watching the same thing over and over anyways. This way parents can just keep pressing play on the same thing and kids can have a different experience with it. So I think if anyone's going to like it, it's going to be little kids who want to just interact with the same things over and over again. I mean, I'm sure you've seen shows like Dora the Explorer where they're talking at you. A lot of times kids' shows are trying to be as interactive as possible.
You say that, but I pride myself on the fact that I've never seen one single episode of Dora the Explorer.
Well, you're not really the target audience.
No.
I can't say the same thing. As I had little brothers who was growing up at the time, I know all about the backpack. I know the map song. I'm into it.
Fantastic. So that could be coming in the future. Thank you for all of your text messages and calls this afternoon. Thank you so much, William. Have a great Eid.
See you next week with the star of the new Tupac film, All Eyes on Me.
Have a great weekend, whatever you're up to. Michelle, thank you very much.
Thank you.